Miller. On this podcast, you're going to hear some awesome interviews from business leaders, experts, and entrepreneurs as they share their story, their journey, and some expert tips and insight of the things they've learned along the way. So sit back, enjoy, learn, and grow. And thanks for joining me. What a fantastic guest I've got this morning. I've got Carmen Braidwood with me. Good morning, Carmen.
Hi, Kevin. Nice to meet you.
Thanks very much. It's great having you here, Carmen. You're a radio, TV presenter, media trainer, and confidence on camera coach. Geez, you're a talented lady.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Based on one little bio, you think I'm talented? I've been working in the broadcast media this year for 20 years. Wow. It might only be freelance these days, but there is still some.
Yes. And you're obviously, you know, you've been in the media industry for a long, long time, as you say. What sort of stuff do you get up to nowadays? Before we go into, you know, but the reason I've asked you in first of all is the confidence on camera thing. You know, I think it's very important for business owners and for people in general to get a bit more confident on camera and articulate their message. And that's something that you obviously specialise in. Mm. But before we go down that path, I love to hear people's stories. I love to have a chat. So, I mean, most people will probably be familiar with you anyway, but I'd love to hear it from you. I'd love to hear a bit about your story.
Oh, sure. Well, I guess to those people who don't know much about me, my background is mostly in radio. I've worked, like I said, 20 years now in the broadcast media on radio and on TV. And up until 2017, I was the full-time host of the 96FM breakfast show. So some of your older listeners maybe will remember that show. I was the one that was on with Blackers and Fitzy, and then later we were called Carmen and Fitzy after they turfed Blackers. And then they eventually turfed Fitzy and I. So we were both had our show axed back then, and ever since I've been freelancing. I recently just wrapped up doing a weekend show at 882 6PR, the talkback station. And throughout that time, I had been sort of loosely thinking about this idea that I would start teaching people to present to camera. And that's because I have been also working sort of as a freelancer in TV this whole time as well. And looking back on it, I realised that I had a lot of hang-ups about the way I looked on camera, that I had to really...
That's really reassuring here.
Yeah,
someone that's done it for a profession.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, it does help people to hear that because it's the thing that holds so many people back from even getting started making video content or even holds them back from presenting as their best selves on a virtual call, like a Zoom call, because they've got this thing going on about the way they look. And, you know, I was really obsessed with the way I perceived I looked, and it was to the detriment of my career, I believe. I think it held me back because it was a distraction from focusing on what I said.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the more important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was able to really land brilliantly with my radio audience in many cases because I was pretty candid and happy to share anything with them.
And it's a different environment. You're not in front of a camera necessarily. Yeah. You know, radio is intimate and you can express yourself without actually seeing the responses of people,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Is that what you mean? Is that
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think that television took away that layer of protection, like you
say, then
you're in that far more vulnerable position of it replaying and sort of being out there for infinity. Mm-hmm. Whereas often in live radio, we go, oh, well, it's up the stick. It's all over. It's gone. And people would sort of not even notice when I was on radio. Whereas if I was on TV, very often it would be national television. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd get phone calls from all over the country from friends who'd seen it, or it would be shared again in the later years on social media. And I used to feel sick at the worry of it being seen by people. Even though I really desperately wanted that career, I would really beat myself up over my perception, over how bad I looked, over mannerisms, over the shape of my face, over my perceived being overweight, like all of these weird things that were going on in my mind that I now look back on and realize were complete rubbish.
Yeah.
And they really did distract me from adding value as a person.
And yeah, and you said, detracting from what you actually were saying, detracting from your message, essentially.
Yeah,
you know?
And if I just sooner focused on my message, mm-hmm. I think my career might have even gone a lot further yeah. in television. Not that the dizzying heights of Destination WA Sunday nights 5:30 on Nine isn't a great gig on TV. I love representing Western Australia. And I love sharing it with the rest of the country too. But yeah. Yeah, I think there are opportunities that I probably cost myself over the years because I let that obsession with the way I look be my focus, and it shouldn't have been.
No, thanks for sharing that, Carmen. That's first of all, as I said before, it's very reassuring for people to hear, but it's very honest. So thank you for being very honest about it. And it's that's sort of a good segue, I guess, into the confidence on camera thing, the value of the confidence on camera, I should say, because... Mm. That is something that that business owners do struggle with, is actually putting themselves in that environment because they are worried about what people think, or they're worried about how they look. And what would you say to someone that's in that situation?
I would say, look back on your career, think about what you wish you knew when you were starting out, and if you're not prepared to share that with those that are coming after you, or with your industry, or with your potential clients, then you're denying them something, you know. And if you're letting your own vanities and fears get in the way of that, that's you choosing this neurosis, really, instead of choosing being of service.
Yeah.
And we can be of service by putting ourselves out there on camera. Now, the funny thing about confidence on camera is that here we are in 2021. I think people kind of get it now. You know, they're all having
definitely.
To do Zoom calls as a result of the
some
pandemic.
Funny ones as well.
Yeah, there's been some real hilarious mess ups, you know. And so people get now what it was. But 10 years ago, I remember meeting my husband, who's a chiropractor. And any listener to 96FM will have been there for that entire romance. So I apologize for yet another chiro story. But I remember meeting this chiropractor and him at that stage saying to me, you know, can you teach me to do what you do on TV? Because back then I was, doing some freelance TV as well as working on the radio. And I couldn't figure out for the life of me why a business owner would want to be on, you know, to learn the skill of being a TV presenter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But of course he pointed out to me, well, I really want to add value to my client's experience of my brand.
Yes.
So he really wanted to allow them to sort of take his expertise with them, even if they weren't in his treatment room. So he could create a video of a stretch that would help them if their low back got sore while they're at work. He could create a video that demonstrated how to run properly so as to avoid getting injured. I said, but then they won't need to come and see you. I said, but they will appreciate the fact that I've given them that value.
Yeah.
And when they do need to come and see me, of course they will. You know,
it's
was able to see
your
that.
Thing as well, isn't it? You know, it's not just, it's with all business, you know, video aside even, it's just looking for avenues to improve your offering. And if video provides a platform to do that, provide a better offering, an improved level of customer service, aftercare maybe in your husband's scenario, then use the means that are available to you. Make use of them, you know, put them to use, basically.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's giving people more and more ways that they can engage with you and your services as well. And, you know, within your market, there are many ways to market anything, but within everybody's market, there are people who are attracted to that visual message and learn that way and will really engage with you that way. There are others who'd rather read. And it's just about giving them as many options as you possibly can. It's those one percenters. And to this very day, you know, now Ryan has a massive bank of video content he's been making for the last 10 years that just lives perpetually on the internet. And people find him using that content to this day.
Yeah.
You know, he will hear from people almost every day who say, oh, yeah, you're the guy who does the videos. I've seen those. And now I've realized that goal of being able to turn that into a little bit of a business. But it didn't come easily. It wasn't until the pandemic that I was really able to create an offer that I could put out there and find a way of getting that messaging right for the market as well.
So going back to the pandemic situation then, so it was a bit of a, so your situation, you were working at the time, yeah. And then this was mulling around in your head, the idea of doing this, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The idea had been there well before 96FM's show even came to a close in 2017. I'd sort of said, you could teach businesses media skills.
Yes.
Because they need to create content, just like I've always created content as a broadcaster. And even people at work used to look at me a bit like, oh, do you mean media training? Mm-hmm. But of course, most people in the broadcast media look at media training, and many people in business would look at media training in a very different way.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Media training would be me sitting there trying to teach you how to be a great interview and how to get on message and how to avoid tough questions, you know, or how to handle a crisis.
Yeah.
Now, I can do that media training, but it's nowhere near as rewarding as this stuff.
Yeah.
Confidence on camera is about breaking through those entrenched fears we have about seeing ourselves on screen, I think. It's also, it's about being you, the you that your clients love and that you are when you're with your staff or you're even with your family, where it's about finding that person and putting them on camera. You know, and actually creating video content that supports rather than detracts from your business. There are a lot of people giving it a bash, and I really commend them because it takes bravery to do that. But when you do give it a bash, you really want to make sure that you're attracting the right clients to your business and not sending away some of those right ones because of the odd mistake you might make.
And making sure you're consistent with your other messaging that you're doing as well, consistent with your brand and what your business values are actually about as well.
Yeah.
And how do you articulate that in video then?
Huh.
So for instance, somebody might have a local grocer store. Let's just say local grocer store, right? And everybody says, oh, they're lovely people, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. They've got that fantastic grocer store, you know. And then they go on video and they're Mr. and Mrs. Jones. They're nice people and they're sending that same message. But how do you sort of package it together for them, you know?
Yeah. That's content marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's you as a business coach doing a radio show.
Yeah,
true. It's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
true.
You're being of service through the content that you're making. So Mr. and Mrs. Jones, in your example with the grocery store, would be them actually sharing weekly specials on camera and maybe suggesting as an extra layer of value that they're adding that you could use these particular tomatoes that you picked up at this discounted price to make an amazing passata, just like Mrs. Jones' mum used to make.
Yeah.
You know, like really painting a picture of who you are based on the content that you're prepared to share with your dream clients. You know, the locals are going to walk into Mr. and Mrs. Jones' grocer and go, I'll pay the extra 20 cents a kilo for those because down at the insert, you know, major chain supermarket down the road, I'm not getting that value. That's the X factor. Everybody's X factor of their business is them.
And I think with all the digital stuff, and then video, obviously video is digital, right? But it's, I think with the digital stuff nowadays, we've become a little bit disconnected. You know, these things about where I've even seen it myself in previous business where I'd sit behind a computer and maybe just send emails rather than getting out and going seeing people and talking to people and the energy and the enthusiasm that it gets. And that's one thing that you can get from video. You can get someone's energy, you can feel their energy and you can see it in their expressions.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. It's good fun, you know, when you watch them. It's great to see.
And that's because we buy from real people.
Yeah.
You know, the places that we go back to day in, day out, even if they're an entity, a person who works for a bigger entity, even if they're a mortgage broker who's employed by, you know, or a financier who's employed by a big bank, you know, they're going to be a person first and foremost that you choose to do business with. And the same applies to small businesses. We don't want to see your logo anymore on your Instagram profile, for instance.
Yeah.
We need to see you. And for a lot of business owners, I understand how difficult that is because you've been doing business just fine for years and years and you're probably very, very busy still.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be convinced sometimes that we need to see you, but it is necessary. Otherwise, there's no trust online for that person. And if all you're relying on is online marketing to promote what you do, your audience is very, very slowly going to run out.
Just referring back to when your first experiences on camera and you shared your feelings, which, you know, I'm very grateful for. But the process of, just like for a behind the scenes look for somebody that's listening that might want to know how that happened, what training did you get? You know, what does somebody in a what does somebody in that environment do? What training? What are you told? What are you getting coached to do, essentially?
This is the tip that will just change your life, and you will never ever forget. The one thing that I've always taken with me, and I use it to great effect. It's in my quick start guide to being on camera. You know, it's the one thing that if you always remember this golden rule, you can pretty much be your own coach, and you don't even need me.
Oh no, come on!
I'll help you with a few of the other extra issues on top of this. But the one thing that really resonated with me and continues to resonate with clients is that if you look into the lens as if it is the eyes of someone you like, not just anybody, the eyes of someone you actually like and want to spend time with, and engage with that lens in that way, you will be your most authentic self. You will actually have your eye line correct as well from a practical point of view, and you'll also use the right language. Mm-hmm. So you'll notice when you listen to broadcasters that they don't talk to everybody. They talk to you.
Yes. Yeah? Not to many, to one sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, you've had that little briefing, haven't you,
I've
for the
not,
radio
no,
show?
I've actually, to be honest, no, I've not actually, but I've heard it mentioned before. Mm. I had someone that was a public speaking coach say that to me at one point. And you know what resonates with me with the things that you're saying? I think it's extremely valuable. I think it might seem a small thing, but it's a huge thing. It still comes down to that basic human emotion thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no bells and whistles. It's not fancy smoke and mirrors. It's just human interaction, normal chat, normal, you know, visual looking at someone. It's pretty, you know, it's basic.
It sounds
things.
Basic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the hardest thing you'll ever learn to do on camera or behind a mic is to be yourself.
Yeah.
You know, for many, many of us, we build this up into something so much more than what it is, and we add all these other layers of complexity that you very often need to spend time taking away in order to then just be you. Mm-hmm. And that requires, you know, as I had to take myself on a journey through, a lot of self-acceptance.
Yep. So look in the camera as if you're looking to one person, essentially. Mm. Look down the lens as if you're looking at one person and someone that you like.
Yes. And in this digital age, you know, figuring out where your lens is really important. You know, those computer programs and phone apps for recording, or your camera just built into your mobile phone, when it reflects your image back at you, that is the biggest trip up just waiting to happen. Because if you go looking into your own eyes on that screen, you more often than not are going to look like, oops, I just bashed the microphone. Yep, 20 years of radio. You're more often than not going to be looking down in the shot, yeah? So you want to actually turn your phone around and look into the actual camera lens.
That's great. That's a great tip, yeah.
Yeah, and stop looking at your reflection, because the reflection's very distracting.
Yeah.
If you have any kind of vanity issue, it's a lot easier if you just look into the lens. And the more you practice it, the better you will get at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing with broadcasters who have spent a long time learning to be themselves. It's just practice. You know, I lived in the bush working in radio stations around Australia for 10 years before I came back to 96FM to do a breakfast show in my home city. I had to do hard yards working out in the bush where you make all your mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's the training that we can kind of accelerate for you in a coaching program, mm-hmm. where we actually spend some time sort of drilling and watching back your performances and critiquing them and, getting to the stage where you're just feeling really comfortable the same way you would in a conversation.
And what about then, what about the actual words, the actual phrases, you know, so we're, and you could call it copy, you could call it content. What would you sort of suggest? I don't want you to give me all your secrets, because that's what all the guys that listen are going to come and pay
but
you
this
for.
This is not, no, it's okay. This is the value you get as a listener here to Kevvy's show. This is awesome. The words itself. Great copy, right?
Yeah.
Great copy can be so powerful. We can all know about conversion copywriting. I imagine you've talked a bit about that here on your show. But if you go and just regurgitate great copy, it's not going to feel like it's yours.
The authentic thing again.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, you could have the best conversion copywriter working on your page and it'd be doing a great job on your sales pages and in your flyers and those kind of things. But if you pump all that into an auto cue and just read it back, A, you're going to look like your reading, because autocue is really, really hard to get right, and I strongly recommend you don't use it.
Yep.
The point of confidence on camera training is really to banish the need for autocue.
And because, own your content.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've got to kind of internalise it.
Yeah.
You've got to kind of spit it back out as you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely the job of a commercial broadcaster, because let's face it, most of the stuff that TV and radio presenters are talking about is for a client.
Yeah.
You know, we had heavily integrated client messages, and I still do have heavily integrated client messages on the shows that I work on. But what I need to do is turn them into palatable information, you know, stuff that sounds like it's coming from me, not from a client. So, you know, the ways to avoid that is to kind of avoid scripting too heavily and focus on dot points.
And that would be the thing, I'm assuming, that As a business owner that you deal with, it's their business. It's they know their business. You know, there shouldn't be an element of fear in that realm, because, you'll be a little bit scared about being on camera, but you should know your business inside out. You should know your customers. You should know your target market. So you should understand what that content should be.
Yep.
And obviously, you might need a bit of assistance to enhance it and to sharpen it up and to articulate it again and make it a bit more concise. But that should be the thing that you should be most proud of, because that's the thing that's your business. Mm. So you know, that's the thing that you want to be able to internalize, as you say, and make it feel like it's yours.
Yeah. And you know, you've already been telling people about this business day in, day out, your whole life probably.
Mm-hmm.
So those stories are the ones that you want to start putting into video content. And so if it's the story of your business, that's a no-brainer, because you know where it all started from.
And they're the good stories as well.
They are. They're great. They're very relatable, aren't they?
Yeah.
But the other one is like tapping into your expertise. You know, you're already the expert.
Yeah.
If somebody has been paying you for your time and your service, then you know.
Yeah.
And the things that you think are really obvious are the things that your dream client is just going to gobble up if you start sharing them. And they will reward you when the time comes for them to spend money with you.
And do you think it's the fear that stops people from doing these things? Do you think that's what it is? Do you think fear is the term? Is that a bit heavy, or what do you think?
No, I don't think fear is too heavy. I remember how I used to feel.
I remember my first radio show. I just told you that I was a bit nervous. I told you.
I'm speaking tonight at an International Women's Day event, and I am packing my DAX, right? Anything that's new and outside of your realm of the regular is going to make that happen to you. But I will say this as well. Anything that you care about and that you value is going to make you feel the same way. So if you don't have some element of your job that is making you feel like you're going to pack your tax, I think it's time to start doing something else.
I agree with you, actually. That's really, really, again, reassuring. That's why I stopped doing my previous role. You have to have challenges.
Mm.
And you have to keep putting yourself out your comfort zone and try new things and evolve as a person, not just as a business as well. Mm. You know, evolve as a person. And when most clients come to you at the moment, so what's the most consistent thing that they, you know, what might be the objections is probably the right term. What's the objections to doing it in the first place? What would they be common?
They think they're too old. They don't think they're good looking enough.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to say.
Mm. Yeah. And that's media that's made us that way, maybe, is it? Mm. Do you think that's what's framed our...
It is.
Yeah.
What do you think created that kind of attitude in me?
Mm-hmm.
Being 14 years old and reading women's and girls' magazines that dictated to me a certain way that I needed to look.
Yeah.
And for the majority of my career, and I'm talking up until extremely recently, I've put so much pressure on the way I look, and it's been to the detriment of my career because it's just been this ridiculous distraction where I overtrained, I underate, I worked myself to the bone, you know, and also had these very ridiculously high levels of beauty kind of attached to what I needed to achieve. That also brought about this kind of ridiculous fear that I wouldn't be able to keep doing what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And any setbacks I had in my career, I used to really blame my body and my face and my appearance, the way I looked on camera for that. And realistically, you know, if I'd just been focusing on saying stuff that might have been a little more impactful and the ability to connect with people through the microphone and through the screen, I'm far better at connecting through the screen now, I believe. And the feedback I get from my, you know, my audience is that my television presenting has gone so much better because I'm now able to just be me.
Yeah, brilliant.
That I, yeah, no, that good, I didn't think was good enough.
No, that's it's great to hear. That's what people want to see anyway.
You know,
they
it's
just
true.
People be people. You just
yep. You know, Kevy, the best videos I share are the ones where the dog barked or my teenage stepson walked in the middle of it and his mates, and I've just kept rolling. Like, how much of a dork do you feel like when people walk in on you when you're recording something? Mm-hmm. You know, when people see that it happens to all of us, and what it also does is it frees you up to start creating, knowing that it doesn't need to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting there waiting to launch my business until I had money to pay for a professional camera crew to come and shoot these amazing videos I would do to promote it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until my coach said to me, but hang on, aren't you a presenter?
Yep.
Why are you trying to look like you know what you're talking about when it comes to editing beautiful videos and shooting beautiful videos? That's not what we want to learn from you. We want to learn how to present on camera, how to be confident on camera the way you are. That was just a huge breakthrough for me, and it freed me up to be able to start saying, here's how you can engage the lens better. Here's how you can appear more confident on camera. Here's a few tricks you can use to get a nice, simple video out there that's going to endear you to your audience rather than getting hung up on, I don't have the best gear yet. You know, even if you've just got your AirPods in and your iPhone, you record a quick piece of information that's going to help and be of service to somebody who could be your ideal client, that's better than no video.
And I'm sure you enjoy your work more for that process.
Honestly, Kevy, I can't believe how much I enjoy it. I think a year ago...
You're very happy, so I'm sure you are.
It's a bit embarrassing and dorky, but
no,
yeah.
It's good. We should enjoy what we do. You know, I'm all about fun. I want to have fun. I think as business should be fun. And as business owners, like you can be stressed. You can have all the hassles in the world. Mm. But business can also be fun. It's a job maybe, it's work, whatever you want to phrase it, however you want to bill it.
Mm.
But if you're enjoying what you do, it makes life so much easier.
Oh, honestly, some of the conversions in terms of not sales, I'm talking about, you know, transformations.
Yes, and
that's the right term to ask you about.
Yeah.
You know, one of my clients from the one-on-one program last year never even posted photos on her wedding day.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know, and this is a fear that's been sitting with her for years and years and years. And she said to me that the real breakthrough for her was realizing that she could teach, that she could actually share information that was going to improve other people's lives, because she's incredibly passionate as a baker about encouraging families to start cooking at home together and realizing how quickly they can create a biscuit that a 10-year-old kid can go, I made that.
Yeah.
You know, like for her, that feeling of being able to inspire that in other people was a massive transformation. And now she confidently shows up on camera, but also confidently stands up for herself in meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. So it adds to the overall confidence, the overall well-being, the overall how you feel, the overall how you feel. Going back to that enjoyment and that fun and being your best self, as you said, you know, being the best person you can be. And do you find then, do you find that it's more female orientated, you know, a predominantly female base?
Mm. Yeah. I'm finding I'm connecting a lot with other women who are going through similar things that I talk about. But there are a number of one-on-one clients who I've worked with who are men.
Yeah.
So I think that it's because men don't necessarily like the idea of working in a group setting. So I'll have a group workshop or a group coaching, and men might say, oh, that's a bit too much exposure. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm trying to understand the male psyche here, and
don't
a male
ask me.
Yeah, that's can you help?
Nah, don't ask me.
A male executive, for instance, will enjoy the one-on-one kind of more discreet element, being able to sort of go, I'll just start work an hour later and we'll just do a call and I'll get more confident about what I need to say today on camera or brainstorm these ideas. The women seem to be more into the idea of supporting one another in a group and sharing some of those more touchy-feely things, I guess.
Yeah, women are better at that. Women are, I think, from my own experiences, I've got two young girls, so I've become better at that, I think, having two young children that are girls, I think. But women, as a general rule in my experience, are better at sharing and sharing knowledge and helping one another and spreading the word. I think guys are a wee bit more cross-armed, you know, sort of, you know, no, I'm not, you know, I don't want to do that. But I think it's important, though, for guys to get involved in the video stuff as well. Like, there is a lot of female content out there, and I think that guys need to get involved in it as well. I think that they should be a bit more embracing of the process.
Yeah, I'll look at my first client. It was my husband, you know. So, you know, he managed to do it in a way that worked for him. It's really about tapping into that, your own personality. Mm-hmm. Don't look at what other people are doing and feel like you have to copy them. So if you are following other people in your industry on social media and kind of comparing what they're doing to what you're thinking of doing, you'll always find it really hard. I think you've probably heard this before, when you find yourself victim to that comparison, just unfollow, you know, really just getting out of their lane and into yours, and thinking about the value that you can add to your following and to your potential clients and existing clients, I think is really important. Mm-hmm. And know that there will sometimes be people who don't like what you do.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you lack value. And it also doesn't mean that what you did was wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are just people who aren't going to get it. And chances are there are people who weren't going to buy from you anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
It's putting yourself in front of the right market as well, isn't it? You know, and understanding who they are, and then working with that market, and not trying to cast a net too far and wide.
Yeah.
You know, being specific to the market that you want to be in front of, the people that you want to connect with,
yeah,
you know, to use your phrasing.
Because it's okay to niche in business, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah,
for sure. As opposed to what we were doing, you know, when I was broadcasting full time, we were almost smoothing the rough edges off of our personalities in order to appeal to the most amount of people.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. Mm-hmm. You know, no business is trying to make everybody their client. You'd be run off your feet.
Yeah.
So you want to talk to only people who are actually interested in what you're selling. So appeal to those. You like you say, you're casting a net. You're casting quite a narrow net, looking for only these kinds of people. And it just circumvents the process. You know, just by putting this kind of directed content out there, you just get rid of the ones who aren't ever going to buy from you, and you suddenly start only hearing from people who already want to work with you.
Yeah.
Because they've used that video content to decide whether or not they like you. And if they're bothering to call you, they're on board.
And the other thing is to identify yourself, the customers that you want to deal with, because even in my own experiences, when I had a shop and things, that there would be certain clients that you just don't want to deal with as well, you know, and you have to, that comes with experience. In the beginning, you want to take all the business that you can get because you're starting out and it's
exciting.
That
was me 6 months ago.
Yeah, and you know, that's a hard thing to, it's a very difficult thing to, and I think there's people in business for 15 years that are still trying to work that out, you know.
Yeah.
You don't need to work with every single person. You get that radar thing on and you think, that's not somebody I want to work with, you know, and work with the people that you want to and that are in line with the direction that you're going in.
Quite right. And it's been a really big breakthrough for me to learn these things about business. Mm-hmm. I guess having come from that broadcasting background, I've now had the opportunity to kind of flex my muscle and understand more about business. I've learned a lot about my husband's business over the years and the challenges he's had. And that's probably been really good grounding. But it was a breakthrough, you know, to speak to the value of coaching, to involving a professional to help you with the bits you don't understand. You know, I would definitely not have any of this whole confidence on camera shebang if I hadn't have admitted that I really didn't know what I was doing from a business point of view, and getting that business coach involved and learn to do a few things that I just hadn't even considered yet. I didn't know what I didn't know.
And your business journey, so learning business, you know, and we spoke off air on the way in, and we spoke about business, this term, business, you know, it's very heavy business. Mm. And it's like, you know, but you've started a new business as such, you know, you're a very successful business with the way things are going, and something that you enjoy, something valuable. But what's your experience of the business been, you know, the day-to-day running a business, you know?
It makes me nervous. It's my new thing that makes me nervous. I'm launching a new program with a free challenge that you can join. And, I'm nervous about building the funnels, you know, and I'm nervous about writing the copy that's going to go on the sales pages. And I'm really overwhelmed with how I'm going to fit all that out. But I also find it so empowering when I figure it out and I implement these things. to realise that me, a person I thought was just going to be a dodo bird broadcaster in an industry that's nowhere near the same as it used to be, you know, I really thought they were my only skills. Yeah. But I've learnt that I've got all these other cool skills to offer, and I'm learning so much more about marketing and about human behaviour and about the ability for us to connect through the screen and the possibilities that kind of come from that, that have improved my ability as a broadcaster, but also have just shown me, you know, it's this wonderful validation moment that I can have a really rewarding career outside of the media. So, yeah.
And isn't it brilliant learning new stuff?
You know,
isn't it amazing?
You know,
and that's one thing business does lead you to. It encourages you to learn because you have to. Sometimes you get to a position where it's sink or swim, or it's you have to make a decision to learn something, to get good at something quickly, or at least to try, because otherwise you're going the other direction. So it's survival, you know. You need to keep going. And what things have you learned? So you learned, you've obviously shared quite a bit, but just if you wanted to learn something new or you didn't know right now, a business type thing. So let's say it's not so much marketing, but let's say it's financial, or let's say it's the heavy business stuff. Where would you go to learn, or would you be a self-starter? Would you learn for yourself, or would you seek someone out?
Yeah, look, I think for the things that I really don't know what I'm doing with yet, I've been quite habitually looking for professionals in my life who I can purchase time with, you know, and really, really acknowledging that role of a person that you can say for that hour's worth of good advice, bring them in. You know, I've been working with coaches that I probably would never have knew existed before. And you know, and if you told me a year ago that I would be coaching people, I would have thought that was a really fluffy career that doesn't exist. But now I know that involving coaches who can help you do the things that you just don't understand yet is just so valuable.
So you would seek out the advice then, generally speaking?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to that next level of following people maybe for their free content and understanding the role that they would play in my business, and probably getting to know and trust them the same way I encourage my clients to. And then I'm actually taking that next step and setting aside a budget for investing in my understanding and also investing in the business. And it, more often than not, it does pay off.
And I think that's important, because sometimes we can be, as business owners, you can be a little bit, you cannot be receptive to advice and opinions.
Yeah.
You know? And I think we have to embrace that. I think we have to, it's easy when you've been in business for a long time to not encourage other people's opinions and get
that bit isolationist that you know it all.
Yeah. And I come up against that sometimes, where I'm fortunate, a lot of my work's government sort of stuff, so I get sent government clients. But if I was looking actively for private clients and I was in that situation again, I was the prospective client, I could see me being a little bit standoffish to begin with, you know, because I think sometimes we're a little bit reluctant to let a third party come in and actually give an overview or help or opinion. But on the other side of it, what I've come to realise is that it's so valuable. It's so valuable to get that feedback and understand that you can't do everything yourself, you don't know everything.
And the relief when you actually, you know, hand over to somebody who says, this is easy, it's achievable, it's fine, or they just rule out a few things you were thinking about and point you in that right direction. The relief when you've actually just said, yes, I need you, it's done, is just epic. Honestly, and the other thing I think that's really important with coaching, most of my coaches, and I've got three sort of entities in my life that I've engaged to sort of help me navigate this process until I'm at a stage where I guess I'm ready to start putting staff on and stuff. Most of my coaches have been people who are younger than me.
Yeah.
You know, because they get the tech side of it.
Yeah.
Or their university degree is, you know, 20 years newer than mine is. Mm-hmm. You know, they're people who've are more up to date with the information. And for this time, this moment in time, I needed them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think if you have any hang-ups about listening to people who are younger than you, put them aside, because the coach that you bring in that could help you with this kind of new side of what you do could be super valuable to what you do.
No, I think that's a fantastic point, actually. And just that relief and that mental clarity, when that mental clarity happens, that can lead you to identify new opportunities. That can lead you to look at other avenues of business, and that you might not have got that had you not had that clarity and that relief. And that's another thing that you can get from working with someone like yourself in a coaching scenario in that space.
Yeah. No, look, in my own example, I really didn't realise that I had the business that I had. I was really looking down the lines of big, big overheads doing in-person courses, workshops in Perth with people for half a day, for a full day. You know, my dream was to like, oh, let's just sell out a full day workshop.
Yeah.
You know, you can imagine comparing the return from
that.
Do you
enjoy the one-to-one stuff more?
Yeah, so much more.
Yeah.
Because coming back to see people week in, week out, you see their progress.
See their progress, yeah.
And I don't know how many one-day courses you've done, but you kind of do that. You leave there full of beans and then...
And then it falls flat on its backside. Yeah, no, that's why I asked, because I think you're actually monitoring the progress as well. It's accountability for them as well.
Yeah.
You know, for the business owner, it's accountability.
Yeah.
And it's rewarding to see where they're going. So with your process, Carmen, so you mentioned the workshops that you do collectively with groups, one-to-one as well, obviously. Talk me through the process a little bit quickly. So just you know, use myself as an example. I come along to you as a client and I'll say, Carmen, I really want to get better on camera. I'm a bit scared. I've had that fear thing again. Can you show me what to do, or can you make me better, or can you tell me what to do? How does it work?
So it's really about instigating a process under which you practice regularly. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned before that you'll have broadcasters out there who've been in it for years and years and years and still haven't actually learnt to just be themselves. And so we want to speed up that process with you. And that's why I do three-month programs delivered virtually, where we spend an hour together a week. And you could just have that hour where we actually get together, talk about the content of your piece to camera, and then rehearse it. Mm-hmm. But you could also then accelerate that learning by, you know, taking the... I have an online self-paced course, for instance. You know, everybody who works with me will receive that as an inclusion, and you can go and work your way through that and work through all the modules. But by the same token, we can achieve all the same things in those hours that we have together.
What would be the 3 months, but what sort of period do you see the transformation? Is it normally 3 months, or does it take longer?
Oh,
some people quicker than others?
Quicker. Yeah. You know, that's the really cool thing is that people can get really confident on camera very quickly, and then we get into genuine strategizing around what your video content is going to be for, say, the next 3 months. You know, so we can actually plan content that, like Mr. and Mrs. Jones in the grocery example, you know, that actually supports their brand and will tell their story, and we integrate it into their day-to-day routine so that it's not a hassle to record it.
Yep.
You know, it becomes something that they do maybe once a fortnight, and you batch up 4 to 5 different videos, and you have a strategy for how you actually plan those. Mm-hmm. You know, you could post a video once a week for 12 weeks. And that's a really effective video campaign. Now, some people might hear that and think, oh my God, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But really, once you know how, one video a week is going to make a massive difference to your impact online. And that's even what I've been doing with my own business. You know, I realized that I couldn't just rely on Facebook ads and coach all the time, because I need to be demonstrating how well this organic kind of content works. And since this year, I sort of switched off the ads for a bit and just really heavily focused on creating and sharing my expertise, all the dream opportunities and phone calls from clients are starting to come through anyway.
Yeah. So the organic traffic just off the back of creating that content and putting it out there.
Yeah.
You know, putting it out there and seeing what happens, you know. My wife always talks about that. She says, if you put something out there, it'll come back. Just put it out there, you know. And I guess it relates to everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the same as going to a networking event or coming to do a bit of community radio.
Yeah,
you know, those sorts of things, you just never know what's going to come from it.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, by creating video content, you're replacing some of that. You know, it's just it's another way. It's another layer to what you're doing to make noise about your brand.
And one other thing I wanted to quickly ask you, we're running out of time, but one other thing I'd like to ask you, what would you suggest to someone about, this is something that people want to know about all the time, it's like, what platform do I do it, and where do I put this, and how can someone make it easy for themselves to, you know, if they are, say they are happy enough to just to put something on camera themselves.
Mm.
And what would you suggest for them to do? Where do they put it? Or how do they do it? The logistics of it, I guess?
Yeah, start with the platform that you like to use in your day-to-day life the most and the one that you find the easiest. So for me, that was always Facebook. And I really did nothing but Facebook for a long time. And then, and I'm talking about, I guess, the content that I was making to promote myself as a presenter and a master of ceremonies and the kind of work I used to do. You've really got to work at maximizing what you're already doing well And then you can start to build a strategy that that takes in all those other platforms. I'd rather see someone really strategize around one platform, do it brilliantly, engage with the audience there, and then you can start to look at repurposing once you've got a great content bank. So go back to maybe my example of my husband's business with the Cairo Clinic. You know, he's always just done Facebook really well. Yep. Now we're starting to go, okay, what can you pick up and redo and repurpose? Put that video to use over here as a reel on Instagram now. Yep. Now we're going to put that up once a week on LinkedIn. You know, I sort of keep in touch with a bunch of LinkedIn professionals, and I hear from them really one post a week is about enough for LinkedIn to start to make an impact. So there might be something you're already doing on your Instagram that you can just go, great, lift that, put it over there on LinkedIn, but just don't plonk it down. You've got to massage it so it suits the platform.
Now, Carmen, look, it's first of all, I'm very grateful for you being here. It's been really nice. It's the value that you bring, and the experience as well, but just the honesty and the way that you've shared so much, I think it's very valuable for the listenership. So thank you. It's been really insightful. Thanks very much.
No, happy to be here. Thanks for asking me.
And as far as anyone that's listening, they want to get confident on camera, they want to learn some skills, and they want to catch up with you and learn from you, how do they do it? Where do they go?
Oh, the best thing to do right now is send me a message on social media. I'm at On Camera with Carmen, and Carmen is C-A-R-M-E-N. I have a free challenge starting in a few days, actually. So now would be a really good time to just join the free challenge. And the challenge is all about making your very first video. So if you've sort of got a few barriers up that are stopping you from even getting started, the free challenge could be for you.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Carmen. It's been great having you. Thank you.
Thanks, Emily.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Business Growth Podcast. If you enjoyed it and you want to come back for more, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever it is you get your podcasts. You can catch up with me on social media on Facebook at Make My Business Better, Instagram at Business Growth AU, or you can jump on our website www.businessgrowthperth.com.au. See you next time.